taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach a rising generation to be free. Glad you could join me. You know, I've talked in the past about a speech given by Ronald Reagan, talking about the fact that freedom's never more than a generation away from extinction. And that speech ends, or that quote ends with an admonition that we must fight for freedom. And we must pass on to the next generation, or one day we will find ourselves in our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in America where men were free. And I found this article that, well, it kind of reminded me of that very quote. See, it's based on a poll that was done, a study that was done by the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, or FIRE as the acronym. And they did a published report on what they call the 2021 College Free Speech Ranking. Now, the survey gathered opinions from more than 37,000 students at 159 of America's largest campuses. And they found what I find to be some very disturbing pieces of information. The study found that 66% of students supported shouting down a campus speaker they don't agree with, and an additional 23% supported using violence to stop a speaker. Now, these numbers are going up over previous years. And I don't know about you, but those are two disturbing pieces of data. I mean, I grew up with the idea of, I may vehemently disagree with what you have to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. But according to the survey, two-thirds, actually more than that, if you add the 66% and the 23%, you have 90% of the students surveyed said it was inappropriate to not allow someone they disagree with to speak. And almost a quarter of the students surveyed said it was appropriate to use violence, to prevent the free speech of someone simply because you disagree with them. Now, this is not only disturbing from the standpoint of freedom of speech, but think about what that means for society. And remember, this is the rising generation. These young men and women will one day be choosing our leaders. Many of them may even be our leaders. They may be put into positions of elected office or other offices of trust. And in their mind, someone that disagrees with them, almost a quarter say, you should use violence to shut them down. How can you have free thought if you can't have free speech? How can you even call yourself free if you do not, or at least a lover of freedom, if you do not allow someone the freedom to disagree with you? Now, this is narcissism on a level we don't see very often. And this, ladies and gentlemen, this is an example of our future. If this is the rising generation, if this generation will one day, if not set the laws, at least set the societal standards, freedom of speech is going to be dead. Because 89% of these students don't believe you have a right to express an idea they disagree with. I can't say that I'm shocked, but I certainly am concerned about the future. In this survey, we also found that 80% of students said they self-censor, that they censor their viewpoints on college campuses at least some of the time. And 21% say they do so often. So they recognize that if you could face opposition, in some cases possibly violent opposition, for expressing something that someone disagrees with, you naturally, from a simple standpoint of self-preservation, you censor yourself. You don't even try to express ideas. How do we find truth if we're not allowed to challenge the assumptions of others? I don't mean how they find truth. How do we find truth if our ideas are not allowed to be questioned? How do you find out what is best if you're never allowed to test it? How do you test it if you're never allowed to express the idea? Science is dead when these students are in charge of society. Because even the utterance of an unorthodox idea becomes at least cause to shut people up, to shout them down, and in some cases, even use violence. Imagine these people in our state capitals, in our nation's capital, passing laws that say, you know what? If someone says something that aggravates you, you can beat them up. They believe it's appropriate. How about the ability to simply shout down someone you disagree with? Imagine a society where everybody was allowed to shout down anybody who disagreed with them. Forget discourse. You couldn't have basic communication. Imagine a situation. You're at a party, and you are having a conversation with someone. Someone overhears it. They disagree with you. They start shouting at you. What they're shouting offends you. You start shouting back. Pretty soon, the entire room is not conversing. They're simply shouting at each other. This is dangerous, folks. This is not simply, oh, look at those stupid kids on campus who are so thin-skinned, they can't even hear anything in opposition. How long before this becomes another inquisition where people are not only not allowed to express different ideas, they're punished for it, for challenging the orthodoxy? How long before opinions become religious dogma? Because think about it. Those 23% of students who say it is appropriate to use violence to stop a speaker they disagree with, how different are they than the Taliban, the Iranian mullahs? Any organization that has a strict adherence to dogma that will not tolerate anything that contradicts that to the point of violence. And granted, it's only 23%, but that number is growing. But what about the 66% that says it's okay to just shout them down? Oh, is that our future? To live in a world where you can be shouted down for simply disagreeing with what is considered orthodoxy? And who defines what orthodoxy is? Who defines what is and is not allowed to be said? Because all this is based on disagreement. Which kind of leads me to my point and what I want to focus on today, and that is how much of our discourse is based not in logic, not in facts, but in feelings. Because notice what it says here. They are, 89% of the students believe it is appropriate to somehow stop the speaking of someone they don't agree with. I don't think that way. You shouldn't be allowed to speak. That's an emotional reaction. That's not a logical reaction. That's not a reasoned reaction. It certainly is not a scientific reaction. That's an emotional reaction. And that certainly is not the only emotional reaction. We now live in a society driven by emotion rather than reason. COVID is simply the latest and most grandiose to date example of emotion trumping reason and logic and even the basic concepts of science. And it has so permeated society, there is a news headline that more than 80 Hollywood celebrities are calling on the United Nations to put an end to the coronavirus pandemic. How? By telling national leaders they need fully to vaccinate 70% of the worldwide population. Now, I want to take this one step at a time. All right, first of all, 80 Hollywood celebrities. These are 80 people who get paid to play make-believe for a living. Alyssa Milano, Anne Hathaway, Eva Longoria, Sarah Silverman, these are all people who are paid to play make-believe. They make a living pretending to be somebody else. Why does anyone really care what they say? More accurately, let me be fair about this. Why should the world care what these people say? Are they experts? Do these people have PhDs in virology or immunology? No, they play make-believe. So why should their word matter more than anyone else? It shouldn't. Except we've become a nation and in many cases a world ruled by emotion. You like an actor and an actress in a certain role, so you identify with them and you listen to what they have to say, whether it makes any sense whatsoever. So this is the genius coming out of these 80 people, that the United Nations is in charge of putting an end to the coronavirus pandemic. Okay, first of all, the United Nations has no lawful authority over the United States. None whatsoever, except what we've applied in treaties that are actually within the powers of the United States. So most of what the United Nations does is talk to each other. This, by the way, is the same group that puts Saudi Arabia and Iran on the committee that oversees human rights, that has put China on the committee that's looking at human rights. It puts the greatest human rights violators on committees to oversee human rights. So the very idea that you think the United Nations has any moral authority to do and to even attempt to this, you have paid no attention to what the United Nations does. The United Nations is an international talk show. It's Maury Povich worldwide. I mean, let's face it. It's not even an intelligent talk show. It's not even a decent reality show. It's a sideshow. It's a circus. So they expect the United Nations, the same people again, who put human rights abusers on the committee to monitor human rights, they expect them to somehow end the coronavirus pandemic, as if the coronavirus pandemic is a political problem rather than a medical one. Now, what is their solution to getting the United Nations to end the coronavirus pandemic? Well, we're going to get the United Nations to tell leaders. Again, the United Nations is a meetup group. It is a diplomatic organization. It's a place where people are supposed to talk to each other. They have no authority to legislate over any of the countries that are their members, at least not the United States. I don't know about other countries and the limitations placed on their treaties, but nothing the United Nations says has legal authority over the United States unless it's a treaty that has been both signed and approved by the Senate and is within the powers of the United States. So what do they want these dictators in New York City to do? They want them to dictate to the leaders to get people to get 70% of the world's population vaccinated. The same vaccine, by the way, that has not shown any randomized controlled test that shows it actually stops the spread of the virus. At best, it reduces the symptoms. That's what these idiots want. And the fact that it made the news shows just how little the American people think for themselves. They don't think, they emote. We see something, we have an emotional reaction, whether it's a celebrity or a cause or an idea or a slogan. Like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the champion of defund the police, was escorted out of an event by Capitol Police. Now, defund the police is an emotional reaction. You see a few bad cops, we're gonna defund them all. That is in some ways an emotional reaction. In many ways, it's a political movement. But for everybody here who is supporting Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she is admitting by her actions that she wants police protection. She doesn't want you to get it. Defund the police for the peons that live in her district, but not for her, because she's important. She's special. Let's stop reacting emotionally. Let's stop reacting to slogans, and let's look at what's going on. You don't want to defund the police. You know why you don't want to defund the police? Because when you pick up the phone and dial 911, you want someone to show up. You defund the police, guess what? If they're showing up, they're going to be late. We don't want defund the police. What most rational people want is they want police accountability. When officers, deputies are accused of bad actions, whether it be abuse or unlawful arrests or intimidation, we want them dealt with. That's the logical, rational answer. Defund the police is an emotional reaction. And defunding the police while using police for your own protection is, well, it's hypocrisy on parade. And it shows that this whole defund the police nonsense is not about protecting you. It's about getting you riled up, getting you to vote without actually thinking about what you're voting for. And speaking about reacting without thinking, President Biden is at it again. You see, the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act, another example of the name being exactly the opposite of what the legislation actually does, well, that didn't go anywhere. It's not going to get passed, which, of course, pissed off, apparently, Joe Biden. So what does he do? Well, if you can't get Congress to do what he wants, he's simply going to vow to take executive action. Once again, we have King Biden the First taking the example of, if I don't get what I want, I'll break the law to get it. You know, it's funny, I was on my Q&A the other day, and this question came up of, how do you deal with somebody who promises to break the law to defend the law? You point out they're a liar and a hypocrite. And then you ask yourself, is that really somebody you want to trust with any amount of power? So a liar and a criminal. Someone who's admitted to be a liar and a criminal, and they're the people we put in charge. And never forget, even with the malfeasance that was rampant in the 2020 election, approximately half of the people who voted to tell their states who to select for president voted for this guy. He's our fault. This leader of a coup. Because he's a coup. He's overturning the legitimate government of the United States. He's saying, no, Congress, if you're not going to pass laws, I will assume the power to pass laws. I'll just call them executive actions. That's a coup. You know, yes, it's a violation of his oath of office. It's a coup. It's a crime. He is stealing from the American people the authority to control their own government. the authority to legislate for themselves, to have themselves represented in the legislative body, which has all the legislative power. But again, it's just another example of, hey, we'll have an emotional reaction. We don't get what we want. So like a two-year-old spoiled child, you'll throw a little temper tantrum. The only problem is with him, the temper tantrum is an executive order. And hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of federal employees think it's legal, think it's the law, think they can do it. And they will follow along blindly because of their ignorance of the Constitution and their own infidelity to their oath of office. This is why I say the American people must stop vetting their elected officials based on donkeys and elephants, based on personalities, or based on, you know, oh, I like this person, I don't like that person. I don't like the way he tweeted, or I don't like the way she tweeted, or I like her dress. We have to stop being such shallow, vapid, narcissistic people. Yes, narcissistic. If you're voting for somebody because they're going to give you a program that gives you money or fund something you want, you are a narcissist. You are putting your own desires above that of the law. You are accepting the bribe from the American government, the government of the United States. They're buying you off. They're buying your votes. They're bribing you. And what are you doing about it? You see, we need to stop looking at the political officers and realize we put them there. We put them there because we were more interested in the political party they were a member of than in their oath of office. We were more interested in the bribes they offered us than in their fidelity to their oath of office. They are our fault. And until we realize that, and until we begin to change how we select our elected officials, we'll be spending the next dozen years having the same stupid arguments. Maybe different context, maybe different details, but we'll be having the same arguments in 5 years, 10 years, and 20 years, that is if we're still allowed to speak, at least speak freely, because we refuse to protect our rights, because we are bribed by free goodies, free programs, or just offers of the government taking care of us. Now, we don't have to be that way. We can change. And as I've said before, and I will say again, I believe John Jay has the best way, described the best way of doing it. See, he said every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country and teach the rising generation to be free. Why? He said, by knowing their rights, they'll sooner perceive when they are violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. The American people have failed to teach the rising generation to be free. I was not taught to be free when I was the rising generation. I've watched generations come and generations go that have not the slightest clue what it means to be free. They simply assume they get what they want. They act like a spoiled child. Give me what I want. If I don't get it, I'll throw a temper tantrum. I'll have a hissy fit until somebody gives me what I want. But how do you go about doing that? How do you go about reading and studying? I mean, isn't it tough? Don't you have to have a law degree? No. The Constitution was written for the 18th century farmer. It could easily be read by the 21st century American. There are tools to help. You don't even have to spend money. Hey, they're free. You can find the Constitution for free at archives.org. There are plenty of people that give away free constitutions. Come to one of my events. I give out free constitutions to all the students. But we have to invest a little bit of time and effort. Because if we don't, then those 66% of students who think that you don't have the right to say something that disagrees with them, and the 23% that think they can use violence to shut you up, will be the ones determining if and how you can exercise your freedom of speech, your freedom of press, your freedom of religion, pretty much each and every one of your rights and freedoms. They'll be the ones deciding, because we would not teach them. Now, before I head off to break, I want to remind you to check out healthycell.com/outloud. You know, they've changed the way you take vitamins. No longer a fistful of pills. It's a travel-ready pack. If you find pills hard to swallow, this is great. You can take the shot directly or just mix it in with food or drink. It helps your body feed and get the vitamins it needs at the cellular level. Now, I don't know about you, but at the end of the day, sometimes I get a little fuzzy. I get a little out of focus. So try Healthy Cells Focus and Recall. It'll boost your short-term focus. It'll give you the long-term memory and brain power you need to not simply get through the day, but make it an effective day. Find out more. Get that 20% off your first order by going to healthycell.com/outloud today.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL. And use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We're at the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach rising generation to be free. And we're talking about people's emotional reactions. It seems like so many of us have lost the ability to have a rational, logical, reasoned reaction to events, and we run almost solely on emotion. For example, I saw this news announcement. This came out, I saw it on a Daily Caller. The U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee announced that starting November 1st, all staff, athletes, and others at their training centers must be fully vaccinated. That's right. If you are one of the healthiest, most physically fit people in this country, least likely to suffer serious effects from COVID, you must be vaccinated. Regardless of whether or not you've got immunity, you have to be vaccinated. Regardless of whether the vaccine will keep you safe from the from COVID, you must be vaccinated. We have been scared into imbecility, folks. We have been so, we've allowed ourselves to be so traumatized by the scare tactics and the misinformation. Yes, misinformation, outright lies. The use of inference and innuendo and completely outrageously bogus models to scare the American people into doing whatever they're told. And now, if you spent your life training to be in the Olympics, or if you've been a part of the Olympics for years and decades and you're a trainer or a staffer, now you don't have the right to decide for yourself what is medically responsible. Oh, no, 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 no. U.S. Olympic and Paralympic team says you don't get a choice. You must comply or you will be punished. Which brings me to an interesting statement by the infamous Senator Dick Durbin. In a speech, he described those apparently like me that said they that talk about people who decry. They do not stand for mandates. It says they are exalting liberty over life. Now, I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. He said they are exalting liberty over life. Well, then isn't that my choice, Mr. Durbin? I mean, I thought it was my body, my choice, Mr. Durbin. So I thought I had the right to decide for myself. But then back up, and this is where I want to get into the fear rhetoric. See, in his speech, he said, less than 2 miles from this Capitol, there are 666,000 white flags stretching across the National Mall like a sea of suffering and loss. Each of those flags represent an American life lost to COVID. No, Mr. Senator, they don't. There have already been reports and studies showing that that many of these deaths are deaths with COVID, not from COVID. In other words, they might have died with the COVID virus, but they did not lose their life to COVID. The evidence is quite outstanding. Even the CDC admitted at one point that up to 94% of their COVID deaths are people who died with COVID, not necessarily of COVID. In fact, on average, they had 2.5 other causes of death. In other words, when you look at the death certificate and listing the causes of death, COVID was among a list of things that led them to die. So that, Mr. Durbin, is fear-mongering. He goes on to say that COVID is once again overwhelming America's health system. Oh, really? Where? Show me the cities or the states where people cannot get treatment because they're overwhelmed with COVID. Now, he did point to studies in Chicago and other areas that showed that more people who were in the hospital were not vaccinated than those who were vaccinated. Okay. Did he also show that of the children that are hospitalized for COVID, only 1% actually die from COVID? And that half of those in the hospital for COVID have either no symptoms or mild symptoms, meaning they're not in the hospital because of COVID. They've either been scared into the hospital because they've been terrified of COVID, or in the hospital for something else, and they tested positive for COVID. And if that's the case, then COVID is not the one overwhelming the healthcare system. Could it be that your fear-mongering is leading to the overwhelming of the healthcare system? He goes, so much of this suffering and expense could have been avoided if we could take the politics out of the COVID debate and stop spreading misinformation that's literally killing people. The COVID debate has been nothing but politics, and you're doing it again, sir, because you're spreading misinformation about how many people have died from COVID, about the hospitalization rates of people because of COVID. He said, the most important thing is that these people get vaccinated, that they are safe, effective, and free. Well, you know what? 2 out of 3 ain't bad, but he didn't get 2 out of 3. He got 1 out of 3. Yes, the COVID vaccines are free. But the last time I checked, nearly 12,000 people had died shortly after taking one of those 3 vaccines. How safe does that sound? Now, granted, that's a very small percentage, absolutely, but it is also more than all the deaths from all the vaccines in history of the FDA before it was pulled. There has not been a vaccine. If you add up all the deaths reported for all the vaccines that are still allowed in the U.S., they don't add up to as many deaths as we have related to the COVID vaccines. So that doesn't sound very safe. Furthermore, tests show that does the vaccine not prevent you from getting COVID, it does decrease your symptoms. There does appear to be evidence. I don't know that they've done any double blind or randomized or control group testing, but there does appear to be some evidence, at least anecdotal evidence, that it does decrease your chances of being hospitalized and the severity of your symptoms. But that wasn't what we were sold the vaccine for. The vaccine is about keeping you alive. It's about preventing you from getting COVID. And at that, it's failed. But they say we have to do it for everybody else, except studies show that people with COVID have just, or with the COVID, people with COVID who've been vaccinated have just as much viral load in their nasal passages as those who have COVID that weren't vaccinated. By the way, that means they are just as likely to transmit the virus whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. So again, misinformation much? And he goes on to make all, oh, you were falling behind, you know, yes, it's all about individual rights, but the only way to end the pandemic is for everyone to accept their personal responsibility, except it does not work. Think of all the things they told us would end this pandemic, and none of them have worked. And the vaccines are just the latest example of it. Now they want you to get booster shots. Well, then I guess it doesn't prevent you from getting not getting too sick from COVID over any length of time. It doesn't work. If the vaccine worked, you wouldn't have to bully people into taking the vaccine. They wouldn't have to, companies wouldn't have to bribe people to get the vaccine. You wouldn't have to be having an intensive speech, a passionate speech about how people need to get vaccinated if the vaccine actually worked and was nearly as safe as you say it is. But Senator Durbin knows all he's got to do is get people scared, is use the emotion to get people to do what he wants. Now, I can't read Mr. Durbin's mind, but I'm sorry, that's an emotional reaction, not a medical one. The medical one says, listen, if you get COVID in the United States, if you get COVID, your life, your chances of surviving are 98.6%. Now, if that were the case, if that is the case, which makes more sense? Treating people with an experimental vaccine that does not stop the spread of the virus, or testing products that would actually mitigate the symptoms to prevent people from needing to be hospitalized and possibly die? See, the vaccines are an emotional reaction. They're not a medical one. They certainly are not a logical one. Another example of a emotional reaction rather than a logical one is Oberlin College in Oberlin, Ohio. See, they've reinstated a mask mandate for their entire campus, indoor and out. The only exception to having to wear a mask is if you are eating outside alone. Then you don't have to wear a mask. Now, what has prompted the college's such a draconian reaction? What has happened that requires such a forceful response? One person tested positive for COVID. Yeah, that's right. One person on campus tested positive for COVID. And they're turning the campus into a mini prison colony. I've talked before about Australia and Australia turning itself back into a prison colony. That's what these schools and universities are doing. Here you go. 88% of the student body has been vaccinated. Doesn't matter. One person tested positive. Throw on the masks. Do what you're told. It's an emotional reaction. There's no logic behind this. There's no medical science behind this. There is zero, no one has yet shown me a study, a randomized control group study that shows that masks restrict the transmissibility or lessen the transmissibility of COVID. The only studies I've seen from the CDC are anecdotal at best. The one that keeps getting pulled out, they had hairdressers. They owned a salon, two hairdressers. They both had COVID. They wore masks. Their customers wore masks, and they didn't see any COVID transmission. That's it. That's not science, folks. There's no control group. There's no testing for other possibilities. No. We saw one situation that we can anecdotally say that masks help, so everyone's got to wear a mask. This is an emotional reaction. Just take a look. You want science? Let's take a look at science. Florida in 2020, Florida reopened for in-person learning their schools. Some schools required masks, some schools did not. After months of letting this go, they looked and they said, you know what? Our COVID rates don't significantly change between mask mandates and non-mask mandates. That science tells me that masks do not work. But we don't deal with science. We don't deal with facts. We don't deal with logic or reason. No, we deal with emotion. And you get one person testing positive. Testing positive. We're not talking about somebody who was hospitalized. We're not talking about somebody who died. We're talking one person who tested positive, and this school acts as if Ebola has been released on campus. This is nuts. This is what happens when we turn off our brains and listen only to our emotions. This is what happens when you have decades of teaching children not to think, but to do what they're told and to react based on emotion. This is what happens when schools are more interested with how people feel than whether they, when how the children feel than whether or not they're taught. And I found this report out of the Epoch Times. School administrators in Pennsylvania are stuck. See, they're trapped in this debate because they don't know what to do. See, they've been told to place masks on small children. Have you ever, as one person said, have you ever tried to put a mask on a two-year-old and have them wear it all day? How about just have them wear it for 10 minutes without them touching it? See, they're stuck because these idiot emotional reactors are saying you have to wear masks. Forget the fact that children, especially young children, have a 0.0 chance of contracting all but 0.0. It rounds up to 0.0. It's like 0.005% chance of contracting COVID, needing to be hospitalized, or dying. Yet they're going to put masks on them when they've got zero proof that masks actually stop the transmission. They are torturing small children out of their own fear and stupidity. And what else do you call it? Or what about the 100 parents that sent their children's masks that they've been wearing to school out to a lab to independently be tested, and they found 11 deadly pathogens in those masks that their children are inhaling every day? Or the studies that show the oxygenation of the blood goes down in small children when they wear the mask, thereby decreasing their ability to learn. We don't care about that. Slap a mask on them because our emotional reaction is we have to, masks somehow magically will solve the problem. Masks do not solve the problem. They cannot solve the problem. And in many cases, I believe there's even evidence that the masks make the problem worse. Yes, worse. Remember, Fauci first said, don't wear masks because you know what? You put a mask on, you tend to fiddle with it. That puts your hands next to your face and you're more likely to contract a virus. Like, SARS-CoV-2. It makes the problem worse. So here you have the state, the Pennsylvania Office of Child Development and Early Learning, mandating that schools either torture their children, torture their children, or lose their license. See, that's right. The Pennsylvania Office of Child Development and Early Learning has taken the choice of wearing a mask, the medical decision, away from the parent and put it on the child care provider. And said, if they don't comply, they'll lose their license. You see what happens when you put government in charge of whether or not you can work? They tend to use that power. This is extortion. This is the Pennsylvania Office of Child Development and Early Learning. Whoever runs that should be charged with extortion. Because until they can prove a scientific evidence, I don't mean because Fauci said so or the CDC. They can say whatever they want. We have freedom of speech in this country. Until they prove evidence that this is actually necessary, even for that age group, much less everybody else, it is extortion for them to threaten the license of these operators to comply with an illegal order. That is extortion. Ladies and gentlemen in Pennsylvania, when are you going to reach out to your law enforcement and have an investigation and possibly charges of extortion from the Pennsylvania Office of Child Development and Learning? When? How about we stop kowtowing to these tyrants and their fear, and we actually treat them for the criminals that they are? Because until we do, they'll keep doing it. Now, there's one other area, and I've been talking a lot about COVID today, and I want to kind of change the context a little bit, because since I've been talking about schools, our public schools are a disaster. They're broken. You know, 20 years ago, my wife and I agreed that our daughter was not going to go to a public school. That either we would send her to a private school, or as we decided, we homeschooled her. We homeschooled her through her entire primary education. She actually did 12 years of education in 11 years. She could have done it in 10 and a half, except she wanted to graduate with her friend. She goes, "Graduate, Paul? I thought you said you homeschooled." "Oh, yeah, we had a graduation ceremony for her and her friend who was a year behind her. They were in ready to graduate, and we basically just said, fine, we'll have a little graduation ceremony." Gave her a little diploma and everything. Because the public schools are broken. And I mean that. One of the things we are frequently asked is, aren't you concerned about the social development, about socialization for your daughter? We said, we are very concerned about the socialization of our daughter. That's why we will not put her in a public school. Public school is the Lord of the Flies. They're not interested in, and I'm not saying, there are plenty of hardworking teachers and hardworking administrators that are trying to do the right thing, but the system itself is broken. People complain you need to spend more and more money, even when it doesn't work. You know what Einstein defined insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. Now, what's the latest example? So the city of Baltimore. In the city of Baltimore, this report came out from the Western Journal. Found that 41% of high school students had a GPA of less than 1.0. Now remember, you have to understand, the city of Baltimore spends $18,000 per student. That is 40% more than national average. And 41% of their high school students have a GPA of less than 1.0. In one public school in the city, there was a high school student who ranked near the top half of his class, near the top half of his class, with a 0.13 GPA. Do you want to know why we're ruled by emotions and fear rather than logic and reason? Because 90% of the students in America go to a government-run school, and the vast majority of those schools are failing. Even the good schools do not teach the most basic facts that are necessary for a citizen in a free republic. They aren't taught the Constitution. They aren't taught the basic math. Most of them aren't taught things like the effect of compound interest, or how to balance a checkbook, how to write a resume. The basic things you need in life, they're not taught. So before someone asks for another dime for schools, remind them, what about the city of Baltimore? If dollars led to educated students, the city of Baltimore would have the smartest children in the nation. They spend 40% more than the national average. They have abysmal grade point averages. Now again, my public school, not bad. Would I say it was a great public school? No. Would I say that it truly prepared me to live as an adult, as a citizen of a free republic? No. But it did a pretty decent, it did a fair job. I could read, I could write, I could do basic mathematics. I had a grasp of science, a bit of history. But schools like that are failing. why do we keep them around? If schools in if the schools in Baltimore are so bad, why don't we find a better solution? Because they're run by government. And they're influenced by unions. And again, I have no problem with unions, except when they have influence of the government dime. Unions are there to protect their employees, not the students. Unions are not there to help educate your children. They're there to get more money for the teachers and for the administrators with as little work as possible. That's their job. But when there's no accountability, where do we end up? We end up with children who don't know how to think, who don't understand the role of government, who don't understand their role as citizens in a free republic. And they're the ones that are choosing our elected officials in the next generation. We go back to the beginning. Do you want to know why 23% of college students surveyed believe violence is an appropriate response to a speaker they disagree with? Because they've been in schools, failing schools, that were more interested in how the students felt than in whether or not they were learning. Do you want to know why two-thirds of students, college students in that survey thought you should shout down people you disagree with? Because they've gone through, 90% of them have gone through this indoctrination factory that teaches them to sit down, shut up, and do what you're told. Repeat the sentence you've been told to, and like a clapping seal, get your reward. We've done this to ourselves, America. When we decided to take our five-year-old children, hand them over to government to educate them, and then step back as if we had no responsibility after that. When we started turning public schools into effective daycare centers rather than places of education. When we turned the education of our children over to government, we signed the death warrant of freedom and liberty and rights in America. And that IOU we wrote that says, yes, we'll let government do this work. Well, the payment for that is coming due. And the price is a terrible one. So again, what can we do? What can we do? So I keep saying we need to stop being subjects of government. We need to start being citizens. We need to stop letting the government tell us what they can do, and we need to start reminding it that, no, it's only just powers come from our consent, that we created it, not the other way around. But that's not going to happen because most of us went to a public school that taught them to know the government decides, the government gets to choose, you sit down and shut up, your only job is to vote every few years. We need to educate ourselves because our government has failed at educating us. And the sooner we realize the government's failure and we start taking responsibility for our own education, for our children's education, the sooner we will no longer be ruled by emotions, by fear, by out-of-control governments, and by idiots out of Hollywood that think just because they play make-believe for a living, they have some special insight as to what has to happen, some special power that needs to be followed. Rather than looking for someone else to come save the day, save yourself. Save your city, save your town, save your neighborhood, save your block. See, if Washington, D.C. and our state houses are the front lines in this battle for rights and liberty, then our homes and our neighborhoods and our cities and our counties, that's our home base. That's our supply depot. That's where we can go to recharge. And if they're not safe, we're not safe. I talk a lot about reading and studying the Constitution, and that is important. That's the first step. But that must be followed by action. By making sure that your neighbors and your friends understand rights and understand their responsibility. That your school boards and your city boards and your county governments understand their oath to support the Constitution of the state and of the United States and understand what that means. See, if we do that, if you take care of your school board and I take care of my school board and our counties and our sheriffs, well, those are islands of freedom in a crazy nation. As more and more islands pop up, eventually they touch and they merge, and we end up with whole regions that start considering the Constitution and rights first rather than emotions, logic and law rather than emotions. Then we start changing a few states. We change enough states, we've changed a nation. It's a long-term goal. It's not a short-term fix. There is no fix quick for this. We spent too long making this mess to clean it up that quickly. But it all starts with you. Regardless of what your neighbor does, regardless of what the government does, it starts with you. You read, you study, you educate yourself, then you start educating others. That is the first step. As Thomas Jefferson said, "I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society, but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power." So if you want to correct the abuses of the constitutional power you see, you start by educating yourself and your own discretion. Now, America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio Network. You can listen on our media player from a browser anywhere in the world, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have the best-in-class apps. We can get them on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where you'll stream not only the radio program, but you can stream the podcast as well. So check that out all on AmericaOutLoud.com.
Paid bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.